James chapter number 1. Glad you're here. Looking forward to fellowshipping together. And Lord's good to us. And far better than what we even come close to deserve. If you're overwhelmed by God's grace some days, just raise your hand. Absolutely. And James chapter number 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. Underline these two words. Wanting nothing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, as we sang so recently, God, with all of our cares and burdens, we can tell it to you. And you hear and you care and you give us grace. And God, thank you for your grace here today. God, we look forward to the day when you come back and call us home, and that those clouds are rolled up as a scroll. And God, so shall we ever be with you. And God, we look forward to that day. God, it's good to be able to say our sins are taken care of. And God, it is well. God, I pray again that you'd bless service here today. God, that you'd help us with these thoughts. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Wanting nothing. I'm going to ask you a question, and before you answer, I want you to consider. It'll be the first question I ask you, and it'll be the last one. Are you content with Christ? Say, of course, I'm a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. I'm in church on Sunday. We're about to have some tacos. Of course I'm content. How could I not be content? I'm going on a canoe trip. My family's in church. Are you content with Christ? As our verse said, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. As you know, we have a dog at the house. His name is Trapper. He just spent a couple days with his friends over at the doggy resort, or whatever they call that over there. And it's cheaper than a hotel room, which is nice. And they say he does great. I don't know. He must behave himself when he's away, because he gets a great report card. Trapper pretty much all day wanders the house when he's not sleeping, just wandering the house looking for things the kids might have dropped to eat. To consume, constantly. When we put food in his plate, he consumes it immediately. I don't think he chews. I don't think it's just vacuum gone. That dog, say, is he unhealthy? No, he's solid. He's 75 pounds. Maybe you can see the last rib or two, but I think that's healthy. I think that when he stands up, he's got, I mean, he lifts, he's strong. Diesel. Well, guy's got an appetite. Trapper's not the only one with an appetite. Our flesh has an appetite. In 1 Corinthians 7:28, it tells us this: the flesh is trouble. And here we are as Bible-believing Christians, indwelling Holy Spirit of God, love the Lord, in church on Sunday, come to church three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, we participate in prayer, you work in the nursery, you teach Sunday school, you come out on Saturdays and you knock on strangers' doors to try and bring them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what else do you want me to do? And we still have this fleshly battle. That doesn't go away. And there's always this natural fleshly appetite. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. If you know what I'm talking about, say amen. Sure. All right. Good. Hey, it's not abnormal, but it still needs to be addressed. Let me say that. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 goes through. The Apostle Paul. Says that. I don't do the things I should. I do the things I shouldn't. The Apostle Paul. But he wasn't content with that status. He worked at it. He strived for holiness and godliness. Hey, it's one thing to recognize and go, well, that's just the way I am. No, no. That's not how the Lord wants us to stay. And in Romans chapter number 8 and verse 5, Romans 8, 5 says this, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I feel like every single moment I'm standing at a fork in the road. Like at any moment, things are going to break out with me and the Lord. And at the same time, I'm but one step away from. Why? Because we have both natures, the flesh and the spirit. He warns us in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, what? Is life and peace. He's warning us. He says, hey, yes, you have Christ. Yes, you've been forgiven. But the old nature is still looming. You still have a fleshly appetite. You still have natural wants. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, look at these words, cannot please God. Those are strong words, Paul. 1 Corinthians 1:29 says, no flesh should glory in his presence. So how's the battle going? How's the battle between flesh and spirit? As we saw in James chapter number 1, our text, it told us that we ought to be, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And that goes very much against exactly what we feel and experience on a regular basis. And you may look at that and go, what's wrong with me? I don't just want a little things, I want everything. Go, take your 8-year-old to Walmart. Say, why would I do that? Walk up and down the toy aisles. Don't say anything. Just push the cart. Just walk. Hey, Dad, can I have? I want. How's your fleshly appetite? So how do I get to the place where I'm wanting nothing? How do I get to the place where I'm satisfied, listen now, with Christ? Is he not enough? And here comes the danger and the deceit of the world. The devil will convince us that a little bit's okay. Listen, you're mostly spiritual. You're primarily spiritual. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Can we be satisfied with that? Maybe you're here today and the demand, the desire of worldly things, fleshly things, is prevalent. Why is that? Because you are not satisfied with Christ. by the end of the sermon, I believe through the scriptures, we can show forth that Christ can leave you wanting nothing other than himself. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 17, it says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." 2 Corinthians 6:17. "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not," what does it say? "The unclean thing." Well, just a little. No, no. The Lord makes no provision for a little. Well, I'm mostly, primarily, he says that I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Doesn't sound like it's up for discussion. It doesn't sound like it's up for negotiation. I think the Lord says, I want all that gone. What the message comes down to is, what is your eye set upon? Why are you doing what you do? Is it wrong to have a job and provide for your family? No. No, not at all. But where are you headed? What's your goal? Christ leaves you wanting nothing. As we go to the very next verse, 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from some of the filthiness that shows up in our flesh once in a while." That's not what the King James Bible says. "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." He says, touch not the unclean thing. And he says, cleanse yourself from all filthiness. Sometimes we substitute filthiness. Well, you know, I used to drink and I used to do all these things, and now I satisfy the flesh this way. All you've done is substitute. So how do I get to the place where in my spirit I'm wanting nothing? You know, in the book of James, there's a thread that runs through. I don't know how you can read James without seeing the word faith. It shows up, it tells us it is the key to prayer, it is the key to our actions, right? Faith without works, what is it? It's dead. What good is your faith if it doesn't affect what you do, right? Hey, if you believe something and yet it doesn't change your actions, did you really believe that? It's a good question. I know the front half of this was somewhat sobering and negative, but it is revealing to us about ourselves. You know, we can convince ourselves that we're maybe a little better or cleaner than we actually are. Children at the house, "Hey, go take a shower." "Dad, I took a shower a couple days ago." Yeah, I understand. Go get clean. You don't realize. And the Lord says, "Hey, I want you to live in holiness." "Oh, yeah. I made a decision for holiness and purity and all those things a little while." "Yeah, but let's reevaluate here. We need to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. The appetite for the flesh has not gone away." What are you craving here today? Bible tells us this. Go to Colossians chapter number 2. And here's the good news. Christ leaves you wanting nothing. Christ, listen now, is enough. Isn't that good news? Hey, if you've tried to satisfy your soul with the things of this world, how'd that end up? empty, hollow, hurting. And you know, when the rich young ruler came to the Lord, he was inquiring about eternal life. And the Lord says, you need to keep the commandments. He says, from a child, I've kept all those commandments. And he says, all right, how about this? Go, sell that all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and then come follow me. The Bible tells us this about that young man. He went away sorrowful. Why is that? Because he had much possessions. The Lord desires that we love him and serve him. Does that mean, Pastor, are you telling us to sell everything that we have and live in a tent? Absolutely not. I don't like tents. I don't think things are necessarily but what's your focus? What's your goal? Is Christ enough? The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter number 2 that he is. Colossians 2:9, look at these great words. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ having all the power of the Father. And ye are, look at these words. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Christ is sufficient enough. He says, you're complete in him. No, I need... Careful now. Careful. Because the flesh has an appetite. I want... Yeah. Isn't Christ enough? Can Christ be enough? There's a lot of miserable people out here. Why? Because they're trying to satisfy their soul with the things of this earth, doing everything outside of humbling themselves and just coming to Christ. You know what they are? They're wanting. First man that I read about that ever made $1 billion, Rockefeller. And they asked him, they said, what do you want now? And he said, a few more dollars. Oh no, Pastor, I would be satisfied with... When has the flesh ever been satisfied? It isn't. But Christ says this about himself. Ye are complete in him. He's sufficient. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. What else is sufficient? His grace is sufficient. Isn't that right? 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Hey, Christ is enough, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Ephesians 1:3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The problem is, we're not satisfied with that. I want the best that God has, and I'd like to dabble a little bit in the pleasures of this world. I would like to satisfy my flesh a little bit also. We can't substitute. Hebrews chapter number 10. But Christ is enough. Hebrews chapter number 10, look at verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hey, you're complete. Forever. You don't need anything else. Christ is enough. He's sufficient. No. All right. Here's my relationship with Christ. I'm going to put that over here. But I also have other needs and wants and desires. Understand that Christ is sufficient. I know this is a big thought, and I know this is how does this apply? Well, we'll get to there. Not only is he sufficient, he He is our confidence. I love these verses, 1 John chapter number 5. There's a lot of people that just don't have confidence in what they're doing. I ask a lot of young people, I say, hey, where are you going? What's going on with your life? What's happening? I don't know. Could that be because they're trying to satisfy a fleshly, earthly desire rather than please the God of heaven? There's no substitute. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. 1 John 5:14. Ask in faith, the Bible says, James 1:6, nothing wavering. Prayer is our confidence. Maybe we're lacking today. Maybe we lack confidence simply because we just haven't talked or spoken to God Himself. Maybe you're trying to direct your life rather than having the confidence. If I asked you, hey, where are you taking things? I don't know where to go. Maybe it felt like that. You know, Nathan just brought his third little girl home. Okay, here you go. Where are you going? I have no idea. Maybe it felt like that. What on earth am I doing here? But when we get the wisdom of God through speaking with the Lord, there's confidence. I know where I'm going and why I'm going there. And that's enough. Do you know the Lord? Do you have confidence in Him? He is sufficient. He is our confidence. Due to a lack of prayer, we can lack in faith. They go hand in hand. But with the strength of prayer, our faith is strengthened. And with strong faith, what do we see? We see people parting waters. We see people stepping out of the boat, walking on water. We see amazing things happen when we're led by God. But you take life into your own hands and you're sending that ship towards the rocks. Danger. Confidence. Our young people are going through a pandemic. Say, oh no, COVID's back. No, much worse. The world is attempting to steal young people's identity, confusing them to who they are and what they should be. They're telling young boys that they're young girls, and they're telling young girls that they're young boys. They're teaching them things that are unnatural. No, you should have strong desires as a man for another man. That's ungodly. And what we're dealing with is far, far worse than a respiratory disease. We're dealing with a identity crisis. And people have no idea who they are because they don't know who God is. I need to manipulate and mutilate and change. And the Bible tells us that we have an identity. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, you're something special to the Lord. Your identification. Was it last week Josh got baptized? Yeah, I think it was last week. Was it all the weeks blur? Was it last week? No? 2 weeks ago? 2 Sundays ago? You remember. I don't. And there he was. What's the purpose of baptism? To identify with who? With Christ. Hey, the more we can identify with Christ, the more we understand our identity, Oh, it's wonderful to walk down these halls and see a teacher standing up in front of a class, teaching them that God loves them, that he can listen to them and hear them, and that they could put their faith and trust in him, and trust him with anything. I love that. You know what the world will teach you? Don't trust anybody. Your very nature is in question. It's a identity crisis. God says, I'll tell you exactly who you are. You're a sinner that needs a Savior. And good news, I'm He. And in me, that old man is dead, and you are a new creature now. You've got new purpose. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hey, you're special just how you are. You know what Christ does? Oh, he's sufficient. He gives us confidence. He gives us identification. People miss out on that. When you're searching after fleshly desires and lusts and cravings and all of that appetite, you miss out on his sufficiency. You'll be left wanting. God says, in me, you'll be wanting nothing. Say, Pastor, I have something to confess. I want tacos. I get it. I understand. But there is a, understand what we're talking about here. It's not just like, I want to go to sleep, or am I not allowed to say that? Am I not allowed to eat? Am I allowed to not? No, no. But what's your goal? What's your eye set on? Is it satisfaction? Or is it completion in Christ? He's sufficient. He's our confidence. I can stand behind this pulpit and proclaim the truths of God without reservation. Why? Because I have full confidence in the truth of the Scriptures. If I got up here and I started telling you what I thought about things, that would be a waste of your time, my time, all our time. Because it doesn't matter what I think. What does God say? That's where our confidence comes. That's why in James 1:5, the very next verse after wanting nothing, he encourages us to seek wisdom. This will satisfy our answers. Lastly, you know, we get so focused on an earthly inheritance, we fail to sometimes invest as we should in an eternal inheritance. So, well, if I'm all about the things of God, and I just totally go all in on spiritual things, what am I going to have to show for it at the end here? I look at Proverbs chapter 13. Here's a verse that could be misused. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. See, I'm trying to gain as much here to be able to leave something to my children's children. Is there not a far greater legacy than riches and gold? Is there not something better than finances and wealth and things? Oh, there most certainly is. A heritage of godliness, a heritage of holiness, a heritage of walking with the Lord daily. Hey, you want to leave an inheritance? Leave a spiritual one. Again, I'm not saying that you neglect, and there are principles. But be careful that we not neglect one to substitute in for another that will never be satisfied. Ephesians chapter number 1. We're almost done. Say, we're going to give you tacos every week if we're getting out this early. Ephesians 1. In verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Ephesians 1:11 says, we've obtained an inheritance. Say, no, I need to work for an inheritance. No, God has already established an inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Your inheritance has already been purchased. It's already been established. See, everything that the flesh is so craving, God has sufficiently satisfied perfectly. Oh no, I need riches and wealth. God says, I have far more waiting for you on the other side than you could ever accrue here. You will always be left wanting here. With me, you'll be wanting nothing. I'm enough. Well, I need the wisdom of this world. God says, listen, I have confidence in my wisdom. Well, I need that. And God has an answer, a perfect answer every time. I'm not saying we neglect all earthly things, but I'm asking, what is your aim? What is your goal? Barns? Storehouses. It seems like every time we invest in the earthly, we have to steal from the eternal to do it. As a pastor of my life, as a Christian, I'm lacking joy. In James 1:2, it told us, there's joy at the end of this. As a pastor, I feel empty inside. I get up, I do a good routine, but at the end of the day, I lay in bed and I think, what am I investing in? I asked a question at the beginning of the service. Are you content with Christ? He's enough. He's our sufficiency, he's our confidence, he's our identification, and he's our inheritance. It's easy to get blinded and deceived into chasing after things that don't mean much. Maybe we could use those resources or time and effort into spiritual and eternal things. Be careful that you not get caught up in being mostly. Primarily, no, that's not what he said. He said, be careful now to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Say, but it's such a strong appetite. I know. But if you're sitting here thinking, I'm never satisfied, it's probably because you've not fully invested in the things of Christ. Well, I need more. And if your go-to at the first thing in the morning is to open up Amazon and see what the deal of the day is. Well, I just got to get to the store. Well, maybe they brought something new. You really need more? Imagine if we ran to Christ the same way we ran to our phones or to the stores with a desire of him, and he's the one that can actually satisfy us. He is sufficient enough. Man, that devil is so subtle. I was talking to someone yesterday, and it's not like we're out back sacrificing cats in some crazy cult. But have we got off course with our goals? Is it to consume upon our flesh? Or can I truly say, I am content with Christ, wanting nothing? Let's all stand. Message is a simple message. Just brings us back to the battle between the flesh and the spirit. Hey, what's your goal? Hey, if you're wise, a wise steward with finances, praise the Lord, good. Those things ought so to be. But be careful that you're not robbing from the eternal to satisfy the temporal. I know this is somewhat of a difficult thought and message to have even an invitation, but I'm going to open up in just a moment. And I ask that you be honest with you and the Lord. Say, I came in here, yes, you described me well. I'm lacking joy. I don't know my identification. I am struggling. I'm looking other places to be satisfied, only to never be satisfied. Maybe this morning you come forward and say, God, I want to look to you. I've wasted a lot of time on me. I want to look to you. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Lord, if you spoke to someone's heart here this morning, God, I pray you'd use this altar for your honor and glory. That God, we would simply decrease and you would increase. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?